are back with another episode of In the Limelight, our third episode, but we're not counting because we're having such a good time. This great new podcast brought to you by the good folks at American Stage Theater Company, right in beautiful St. Petersburg, Florida. I call it beautiful, sunny, overpriced St. Petersburg, Florida. It's true. This is becoming a habit, I think, for you and me, and it's habit forming. For all of our returning listeners, strap in for another wild ride. If you're new, I'm Matthew McGee.
And I'm Jose Aviles.
And today we have some wonderful things happening. We have a great comedian, Dan Baxt, here. And of course, two actors playing murderous siblings in The Burdens at Urbanite Theater. Murderous siblings, it's the stuff that comedies are made of.
But first, some Tampa Bay headlines.
These are great headlines this week. And we want to thank Abby, our executive producer, who always does such a great job with all these headlines. Also, Travis, who's also one of the producers of the show. Travis was just telling us a very interesting story about the first time he ever got caught with booze. And it was Tanqueray gin. So that's for a whole other episode. We're not drinking booze today. Don't you like when I say booze?
Yes.
Jose, that's a fun term. But we are drinking Liquid Death Mountain Water. Yeah. Drinking water from the Alps. It's water in a can. Who knew?
Murder your thirst.
Murder your thirst.
Is the tagline.
It ties in so well with the show at Urbanite. And maybe they sell Liquid Death at Urbanite in their bar. Liquid Death is a sponsor of In the Limelight. At least, there you go. You hear that? That's some good Foley work over there. It is a sponsor. I'm going to take a sip of it right now on air. Oh, Liquid Death Mountain Water. Let's try it. Mm. And it's weird. Okay, here we go. And what's, listen to those noises of lip smacking. What's interesting about Liquid Death is it's water, but it has a slightly, it has a wonderful taste, actually. And I think the colder the better,
probably. I think the colder the better, too. It's in a can.
It is in a can. So. Water in a can, Liquid Death, Mountain Water, you've got to try it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it's going to be all over town now at all of your favorite watering holes. Yeah. Okay, well, up. First, in headlines, these are Tampa Bay headlines. Mize Gallery is closing after 5 years. Apparently the owner, Chad Mize, says he's burned out. What's interesting is I've been friends with Chad for a long time, since I've been here, been here since 2004, I guess. And Chad is a wonderful, I wouldn't even call him I guess you could call him a pop artist. I think that's definitely part of what's great about him, but he also has this just really whimsical, fun style. Mize Gallery has been a popular place for his wonderfully themed art parties. Uh-huh. That's what they really are, art parties. He even designed the new logo at Freefall Theater that we did a couple years ago, and he just has this great... he loves branding and he knows a lot about it. Mm-hmm. Color, yeah. Font, form. He really is spectacular. But it was interesting to read the article in the Tampa Bay Times because I don't know if burnout is exactly what's going on there. He said something so interesting. Mm-hmm. And Jose, you might agree with this. He said he has like a 5-year plan with each thing he does. And he came to the end of his 5 years with Mize Gallery. Ah. And now he's moving on to just doing more of his own work as opposed to also full-time curating a gallery.
Right.
I can see why that would be a thing for him.
Yeah.
And I can see that I know that he'll continue to be prolific, but just in a different way. Yeah. But I was reading something about this. I don't know if you have ever watched the Boulay Brothers, Dracula.
Yeah.
Of course. So the Boulay Brothers had this very interesting thing they were talking about with art and with their work in clubs over the years, is that everyone has 7 good years of a run before they have to reinvent themselves.
Sure.
In the club world. I'm thinking that's the same in the arts.
Yeah.
Right?
I think also probably, there isn't a lot of funding for these very small organizations, these small galleries.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of people to run them. And sometimes when it's a one-man show or it's a few people show, it really can get a little taxing.
Yeah, so, with Chad, it really is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I know he'll keep doing amazing things. And if you can see a little bit of Chad all over town, at businesses, corporations, but also he does the wonderful Tampa Bay Rays hat every year for profit. Pride. I mean, he really does he's really made a mark on Tampa Bay. So I'm excited to see what else is down the pike for Chad Mize. And if he's listening, I love you, Chad. He's been a great friend for a long time. Every time I write him, he says, "How are you, girl?" So I always love that. It always makes me laugh a little bit because Chad is Chad and I are we really are contemporaries of one another.
Yeah.
So it is fun to see him continue to do great things even without Mize Gallery. So who knows what's next?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Wish him luck.
We are. Lots absolutely.
Of luck, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you been swimming at all this summer?
You know, I try to, you know what, if I do swim, I wear one of those old fashioned bathing suits and caps. You know what I mean? The full coverage ones with the, you know what I mean? And,
from like the 1920s.
Yes. You know what I'd like to do? Yes. Yeah. You know what I'd like to do is I'd like to be as covered up as possible. It's so funny for me to live in Florida. You know, my partner George loves the beach. He grew up in the Cayman Islands, so he wants to go to the beach all the time. And he says, "Why don't you like the beach?" I said, "I don't like sand, bodies, or water." So who knows? But yeah, I do love pools. I like a pool.
You like a pool?
Yes, I do love a pool.
Well, the Wet Spot opened up at Cocktails.
What a name. I love it.
The Wet Spot.
Yeah,
hold on a second. I'll drink a
little. Yeah, let's drink a little liquid death to that. Let's pour a little out for our peeps, too. No, okay. Whatever that means.
But it was a long wait for this sort of outdoor pool and outdoor bar and pool. They had a big celebration during the Halloween weekend.
Yes, they did.
And it was completely crowded. Have you been?
I like Cocktail a lot, and one of my dearest friends is the entertainment director and really the star of Cocktail, Adriana Sparkle.
Yeah.
Another one like Chad Mize, we're talking about like just our quintessentially sort of Tampa Bay, St. Pete sort of legends, if you will.
Yeah.
But I do believe that Adriana, even at just Cocktail itself, Adriana's brought up the quality of shows, the kind of guests they get, not just local Tampa Bay performers, but from all over the country, some of the best of drag. She really is. And Cocktail itself is doing really great.
Yeah.
And just to see it like continue to add on, I was talking with a friend of mine and we said it's really becoming like this sort of entertainment complex.
Yeah.
And I say entertainment in any way you want to take that.
Yes.
Because so many things can go on at Cocktail and at the Wet Spot. But it's kind of nice to see them doing well enough these days to expand.
Yeah, I agree. And it's really designed well, and they got it done very quickly for this weekend. And it's been crowded ever since. So good luck with the Wet Spot Cocktails.
It's amazing.
I can't wait to see a drag show out there, actually.
Oh, they're really great. And you know what else they do? They have a lot of different theme nights. I think they also have a show tune sing-along with my good friend Burley Nathan,
right,
who plays piano and they sing. So it's there's so much to do at Cocktail. I think it is a fun place, and I do hope maybe even, I bet you Cocktail should sponsor us too, because this podcast continues to get more and more popular.
I agree. They should create a signature cocktail.
We're getting so popular that even Carrie Lake has come out against us. No, I'm just kidding. We're getting a little political. They may edit that out, but even she doesn't believe that we're a hit. It's a lot of fun stuff. Now, American Stage Theater Company has always done these wonderful school tours, and now Jose is in the middle of, what is this? I love this. They've explained this to me. Trucking 4 actors in a van through Pinellas County School District for what I think is a very charming title of a play I'm super interested in, and you're going to let us know too how we can all see that as well.
Sure.
Not having, we don't have to go to a school that day.
That's right.
We probably could barely get in.
Yeah.
But the play is called Cinderella Eats Rice and Beans, and I already love that already.
Yeah.
Jose, how has it been? I mean, what an adventure doing a school tour, but tell me what the process has been like and what else people can expect from this great show.
It's a great school tour, an educational school tour. I love this sort of segue from Cocktails to children.
I know.
But the school tour is really fabulous. We've been sort of traveling through Pinellas County. The show is called Cinderella Eats Rice and Bees, a salsa fairy tale.
I love it.
The music, it's a musical, and it ranges from like hip hop to sort of salsa and rumba, the music is conducted and the choreography. And we've been sort of, we pack up a truck with the set design, and then we travel it to schools twice a day daily, 5 days a week. And it sort of reminds me of when I was younger and I was an actor.
Exactly.
Going on a tour.
Yes.
Doing these sort of living in a van with four people, basically for 8 hours a day.
Yes.
I'm so happy that our team gets along.
Yeah.
And that,
well, it can be crazy.
And
it can be crazy if that happens. Yeah. You know, it reminds me a lot, like you're saying, you know, when you're younger. Back when I graduated college in 19, I did Kaiser Permanente. Do you know the healthcare organization?
Yeah, sure.
Had a Kaiser Permanente educational theater program, and the show was called Professor Body Wise and His Traveling Menagerie. And I played the voice of Fierce Beast, which just makes me laugh so much, because Fierce was not the same thing as it used to be. So, yeah, it does remind me of that. Is there a way, though, for those of us who aren't in school in Pinellas County, and some of us maybe should go back, if you've heard me, if you see my spelling, I should probably go back to Pinellas County Schools, but is there a way that we can see this and not be in school? Is it going to be at American Stage at some point?
Yeah, it's going to be at American Stage on December 3rd and 4th. Also at the Tampa Theater on the 5th and the 6th during the day.
Great.
But yeah, it's a wonderful show about, you know, getting to know each other. And you don't know someone until you fill into their shoes and really tackle sort of bullying themes. And it's a really beautiful show about identity and about finding yourself and standing up for who you are.
Well, I love that. And I also love the way that, you know, fairy tales are sort of being reinvented all the time for a more diverse audience. And I think that's kind of really spectacular. Because we all know Cinderella, but we probably haven't seen it quite like this.
Yeah.
And I think that's really kind of charming.
100%.
I love Cinderella. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo. I'd make a great fairy godmother. Back in the old days, it was Cinderella, but now it's fairy godmother. And on that, startling admission, we're going to take a break. Stick around with us. We have a couple of words coming up, and we'll be right back with Dan Bax, who is a very funny comedian. So stick around.
Hello, Tampa Bay. This is Patrick Arthur Jackson, Associate Artistic Producer at American Stage. For our second show of the season, we're putting on a production of The Colored Museum by the prolific George C. Wolfe. God created black people, and black people created style. This play will maneuver through 11 exhibits, each depicting a satire that reflects on prominent themes and identities of African-American culture. We're showing from November 2nd through November 27th. Book your tickets early at americanstage.org.
In for a treat today. Today we have Dan Bax is a local comedian who hosts comedy competitions here at Coastal Creative, and he's dominating the open mic game and has recently done a bit of touring. And welcome, Dan.
Thank you.
No, thank you. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing? How you doing, Jose?
Very good. Very, very, very good.
Dan, this is a very, very real and very hard-hitting podcast.
Yes.
So we hope you don't get too emotional.
No, I do.
Now, Dan, it seems like we blinked and you were suddenly one of the main comedians here in Tampa Bay. But I know it probably wasn't always like that, because it's tough. It's tough being, doing stand-up, doing comedy. How did all this come to be?
COVID actually kind of helped me, I think, during COVID, because I was doing it like a hobby, and I would go out 3 or 4 times a week doing the mics and that, and then COVID hit, lost girlfriend, lost job.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, it's comedy full time. And I started doing music during that time, so it just became...
You may actually cry during this podcast.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. COVID was, it affected so many people, but it did push people into different directions.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, were you doing like online stuff, or were you just kind of like shaping an act?
Well, I'm a video guy, so I started doing that. So I did stand in college here and there, didn't really take it too serious, but I started doing like a YouTube series with me and this animated roommate. So that was always comedy based. So like it was like, I always did funny videos, funny whatever. And then... before I turned 30 again, I wanted to try stand-up again, and I got kind of pushed into it, and it's been great. So it's been nice, almost 4 years now, because, it'd be 4 years in March. So,
Wow, that's amazing. Now, we've been told you do a lot of musical comedy, but I think this is like, are we talking about like musical comedy? Like, do you do a couple of numbers from, Call Me Madam or Hello Dolly, or are we talking about comedy that happens to be musical?
I wish I was doing that. Yeah.
Listen, we'll put something together, you and me. But tell me a little bit about that, how you incorporate music into the comedy.
So my jokes are very quick. I mean, I feel like I have like comedy for ADD people, because it's very quick jokes, very goofy stuff, and the songs, a minute and a half to 3 minute songs, different topics from like outlandish premises to just like, be more a little more about me, like self-deprecating stuff like that. Like I'm, you know.
I think that's what yeah. I have to do with humor now too.
Yeah.
Humor's interesting. Comedy's interesting these days. You know what I mean? I feel like you have to be somewhat careful. And I think the self-deprecating stuff really works
yeah.
well because you are, you know, you're the target
exactly.
yourself, and
yeah.
so you're doing that. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it does really work.
Hey, you recently traveled to Portland for
the
Portland Comedy Festival. I mean, are you looking to spread out beyond Tampa? Or?
Yeah, for a while I was going to Chicago a lot. I feel like that makes you better just because you go to a sure. bigger market. I mean, it's harder to get, we start over, you got to meet all these new people, and then it's harder rooms. It's a comedy city, so it's like, yeah. it just makes you better. So I would go out, different cities, bigger markets. I used to travel for video work, mm-hmm. and I would just milk that because the shift would end, and I would just go out at night, find the mics, find a show to jump on, and just get better because that's it gets you better. So yeah, the more you travel out, staying in your hometown is not good enough.
Yeah,
I think that's why I also kind of jumped some steps because I would go out so much and just come back, trim the fat off the jokes that don't work, and just I committed pretty hard.
Yeah, no, you really have to. You know, it's funny. I have always done comedic work.
Yeah.
On stage and on camera, and stand-up comedy terrifies me.
Mm.
Which is so interesting because a lot of people go, no, that can't possibly be that. You always have something to say. Yeah, I know, much to everyone's chagrin. But but it's very different.
Yeah.
Did the first couple of times terrify you, or have you always found that you can just kind of get in the zone and not be too concerned with that part of it? Because for me, it just seems like a daunting task.
Well, I do a lot of coke before, so
yeah, absolutely.
I'm kidding. It helps. It's a I don't know, I still get anxious, but the good anxiety I always tell myself. At least I tell myself that. I mean, tonight, we have two shows here tonight. I'm still already I'm still already thinking about it.
Of course.
But it's like, does go away. Yeah, I mean, my first couple of times, not really, because you have nothing to really lose almost. It's like, you got a kava bar or some open mic, and the stakes are so low. And once
right.
you get to that, you build up in your head, like, oh, this is going to matter. And then you get there, and like, there's four people here. Who cares? Like, I could literally bomb, which, you do, and it doesn't matter. But then... Yeah, big shows, I still get freaked out on all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, this because there's so much... But the second you get that first laugh, it's smooth. It really is smooth.
That's
same.
What I say, too.
Yeah.
You always you relax and you kind of fall into the pocket.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting about doing comedy in smaller venues? I've always felt that, like, the great comedians, you'll always hear about these wonderful comedians with all this following. You'll hear about, like, Kevin Hart punching up stuff at
Who's
a smaller
that?
Club. Who's Kevin Hart? I just picked him out of the blue, but I guess he's amusing. I don't know. He makes me laugh. He's very diminutive. But you know, I hear about that all the time, and I do think that's probably, with what you're saying, that's probably why it's done.
Yeah.
Because they can really just try things
exactly.
out without a lot of fear.
Yeah, no.
And that kind of makes...
All comics are delusional on some level, so it's like, you're going to... Good comics just embrace, like, this is going to be shit, so let's go into it.
Do you feel like audiences are better right now after COVID? I do, up to a point. In doing comedy, I do feel like they want to laugh a
yes.
bit more than they ever have. Have you experienced any tough, bad crowds? And do you have any thoughts for those people listening who think, maybe I might be a stand-up comedian. Maybe that's something I'm going to do tomorrow.
Yeah, I've definitely had some people not like certain jokes, but in the crowd format, I'm usually hosting all these shows.
Yeah.
So my job is to be very accessible and, like, kick off the show. So I can't really, when I do my sets in between, if I'm doing just open mics or my own shows, I tend to push a little bit more because, like, it's my show, whatever. It's
right.
not like I'm, ruining the headliner's show. So that's it. I never faced anything. Like, I
yeah.
really haven't. Just because
yeah.
I have certain like jokes, so it's like I'll do those jokes first. That way, it's like a level 5 offensiveness or whatever. If they don't like that, not to go crank it up.
Yes, but
go.
See, that's the way the comedic mind works, right, Jose? I mean, it's like listening to him talk about that is so exciting because the brain is. It's a very specific type of brain function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like so many things are going on.
Yeah.
And you have to judge if this is going to land. Okay, if this doesn't land, I'm changing to this.
Exactly.
And hosting is a gift
exactly.
like that.
Yeah, some comics don't do that. Some comics would argue, no, do the jokes you want to do. I'm like, ah.
No, you just kind of adjust.
Yeah, it depends on the show. If it's like a dirty show at 11 p.m. and I'm just in the lineup, yeah, I'm going to do whatever jokes I want. But if I'm hosting for Rick Glassman here at Coastal and we have all this money and production put into it, I'm not going to go up and like try to offend the crowd to be cool. Like I'm just going
right.
to, I want
yeah.
them to like the show, have a good time. Like yeah. that's my job, so that's it.
Is there a go-to joke that you have that I
go-to songs?
Tell,
I mean,
go-to
yeah,
songs,
go-to
right?
song. Yeah, Florida. I have a song called "Florida Man," which does really well in Florida.
Of course,
yeah. but it does go out outside of state too. But like, it's
yeah.
in Florida. It's like, I mean, you just go into that. If they don't like that, I usually know. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be a rough one.
You know, it's funny. We were always told in theater you should never look through the curtain to see who's out there, and you shouldn't do it, obviously. But
yeah.
I always do. I'll find a crack somewhere to look, and people go, "Why do you do that?" And I'll say, "I want to know what I'm up against."
100%.
You know, if I look out there
line.
And I'm like, "Oh, there's a lot of seniors." that's my
yes.
crowd. I'm
going
to be fine.
I see a bunch of seniors come. I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm like, oh,
yeah, like I'm Liberace without the piano. The seniors are great. But yeah, you do have to kind of look.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess as a host, when you're putting together a show, it really is all about
yeah.
feeling them out.
No, and that's just practicing. I I made some mistakes hosting for sure. I did Sideswallows one night, and it's my first time hosting. I did an abortion joke out of the gate.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, some of the best material.
The joke's very benign, whatever. But just to open up with that, I mean, it was a 6 p.m. show on a Wednesday. It was a bad choice, and it was like, oh yeah, I learned my lesson that night. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's probably on me for not. Maybe I should ease into that. And since then, I've like just gotten so.
You better. Really do learn a lot just by doing it.
One mistake can fix a lot of mistakes. Like one. Oopsies can help you.
Absolutely. I love it. I think it's always, comedy's an interesting thing now. It's like you got to maneuver, but it seems like you're doing all that really well. Where can we see more from you? I know you have some dates coming up, but also I want to know more about where people can see you online and maybe catch some of your work.
Instagram is probably the biggest one. Dan Bax, that's B-A-K-S-T. Mm-hmm. Also have a website, danbax.com. And then I'm here at Coastal, the CoastalCreativeTV.com. Mm-hmm. I'm here a lot. And I have a place in Ybor City called The Gimmick Comedy on Instagram. Those are my two favorite rooms I'm running right now. So it's, check those out.
All right.
But yeah.
I love it.
Awesome.
Great. I love it. Jose, anything else? I mean, this was kind of fun today.
This is great. Thank you so much,
Dan. Of course.
Dan,
thanks for having me.
For joining us today. It's been a lot of fun. Please check Dan out on his website, and we'll be right back.
What's going to happen to Cinderella at the ball? Game. That's the premise behind American Stage's children's production of Cinderella Eats Rice and Beans, A Salsa Fairy Tale. All month, our cast of bilingual actors have been touring Pinellas County schools to bring this modern Latina fairy tale to students. On December 3rd and 4th, kids and parents are invited to come see the show on our main stage. It's fun for both English and Spanish speakers alike, and it's a great chance to support representational theater. Tickets are just $12, and you can get yours at americanstage.org/education.
We're back with In the Limelight. Did I say that right? In the Limelight. I thought I almost said I'm the Limelight, but I could go with it. We're really excited to have two actors from a production in Sarasota at the Urbanite Theater. Let me tell you a little bit about Urbanite. I've worked with them before because the theater I work at Freefall Theater, last season we did a co-production of A Skeptic and a Bruja. And the show, of course, played in Sarasota, then came over to St. Pete. And it was a wonderful show. It was great working with both Brendan and Summer. So it's really kind of thrilling. One of the things I like the most about Urbanite is it makes theater cool. I think a lot of people, because theater can be uncool. Mm. And I think a lot of theaters want theater to be cool, and they try really hard. But at Urbanite, they don't so much. It really is just is their brand, and they've really wonderfully cornered a market there in Sarasota where they are a destination for plays you wouldn't be able to see anywhere. Yeah. And I think that's what really special about what Summer and Brendan have done. Today we have Jacob Fallon and Morgan Lavenstein, who play siblings Morty and Jane. They play out a scenario over text messages where they plan to kill their burdensome and vicious grandfather. I mean, the stuff comedies are made of. I mean, at least if you know Throw Mama from the Train, which I do. I think I saw that in the movie theater. But we can talk about that as well. But Morgan, Jacob, we're so happy you're here. Tell us a little bit more about this great play.
Sure. So,
thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us, first and foremost. The Burdens is, like you said, it's about siblings who have a very sibling-esque relationship, contentious at times, but also filled with love, who, because their grandfather's retirement home costs are draining their mother financially, decide to plot to kill him. But the fun conceit of the show is all of the dialogue is the text message logs. So we're speaking our texts out loud. So
out to the audience.
That's
out
great.
To the audience. It's such a fun conceit.
Sometimes voicemail, sometimes email.
Voicemail, email. And it kind of brings to light, like, you get to hide behind your text messages. And what if you had to say the things you were saying in text out loud? Like, what would that feel and sound like?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's great. I think it's that's what Urbanite does.
I think
sort of like
really
has a really good risk in there.
And
it sounds like the audience would really love that twist.
That's actually really the word I was thinking of when you were saying that Urbanite is cool. In theater, it's so risky to be cool.
That's the truth. I think what I'm seeing now, I'm just watching theaters like Market, right? And sometimes they want to really do their best to try to make it as cool as possible. And I don't necessarily think theater can't be cool. And I don't think because a lot of times, you know, the audiences are older that it can't be cool, but it's the way they approach it, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. It sometimes feels a little forced, but that's yeah. not what you get at Urbanite. With the yeah. way that they approach everything and the style, they really... Yeah.
It's just seamless.
It's like, seamless, yeah, yeah. and they embrace it so well, and they both... I know Brendan directed this, and Brendan is really a fine director.
Yeah. He's an actor's director. He, I was just talking about this out there. He is.
He really
wonderful.
Is. He really is, and I know he, I mean, you know, look, he'll tell you, too. No, but I noticed from his posts, too, on social media how proud he is of this show, yeah. and I know that's paid off, because I know, I guess it's been extended?
Yeah.
Yes, it has. Yeah, until December 4th.
December 4th now.
I love it. Yeah. Going into the holidays with this wonderful
right.
story.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But, you know, I brought up, like, Throw Mama from the Train. There's also a great Larry David play, I think, Fish in the Dark.
Fish in the Dark, yeah.
Which is very much, not just like this, not with the text and everything, but it's the idea of, you know, who's going to care for our mother and how can we get rid of her? I mean, it's
and
really...
it's big. It's larger than it's life.
So
it's kind
big.
Of farcy and sitcom-y.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I think why these things work is there's a little bit in the back of everyone's head where they sort of maybe think about something like this when they're dealing with family members or
big
old...
Time,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? And so these plays just sort of play on that and really like amp it up, yeah. which I love.
Yeah. How have the audiences been sort of... reacting to it in the moment? Have they been feeding you a lot, or?
It's been a lovely mix. Every yeah. performance is an experiment where sometimes
and it changes the show.
It changes yeah. show to show, and sometimes you get these audiences who are trying to approach it with this very reverent, quiet, like, we
sure.
had audience members at a Q&A last night say, well, we didn't want to applaud
or make it about us.
Thing,
and
it,
I'm like, no,
like,
it is
no,
about you.
Yes, please, please. And then we have, you know,
the cacklers. We love a cackler.
Raucous.
Yes.
Drunk. If you can come to our show drunk, I highly recommend
it. I think all shows yeah. drunk is really a very special thing.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Yeah. yeah, absolutely. Do you relate to the characters at all in yeah. any sort of way?
You want to field first?
You go first.
Okay, yeah. So this is the closest character to myself I think I've ever played,
right.
which has been really, really fun. Insofar as, one, we talk all the time about how it's a Jewish play,
mm-hmm.
And these characters are as Jewish as we are, which is Jew-ish.
And
very-ish.
We're going to get an ish tattoo.
I love it.
On top of that, I lived in L.A. for 5 years just trying to make it. My character's an open mic musician trying to justify his existence in L.A. He's very close to his type A sister. My sister is a little more rigid than I am, and you know, we butt heads in some ways, and you still love each other. So there's so many things about this show where I feel really at home when I'm playing
sure.
this character, yeah.
Well, that's great.
And it is the opposite for me.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm playing a sort of a type A, very alpha,
yeah.
In control, together, I mean, on the outside anyway,
mm-hmm.
woman, and with 4 kids, and I'm like, I do not have kids, I will not have kids, you know?
Yeah.
And there are some things in her, sort of in her shadowy past that I've created for her that mm-hmm. I do relate to. But for the most part, on the outside, I mean, she's a suit wearing.
Yeah.
I mean, as you can see, I am in Converse.
You look terrific.
Thank you, pal. Thank you. But yeah, it's very different, and it's fun to do that.
Yeah. Do you think the characters are justified in trying to kill their grandfather?
You know, as much as you can be.
Yeah.
In plotting a murder.
He is. I mean, you find out that he was super cruel. I mean,
yeah,
that does not justify a
sure.
murder.
Yeah,
but
sure.
like. You know, you realize that he has caused major harm to Jane and Morty throughout
yeah.
their lives, and it's kind of like, well, I mean, his quality of life, he's lived so long,
right.
like
yeah, and I think that's also like what you were saying about how it's such a relatable story is our families traumatize us.
Oh, absolutely,
they do.
And so we definitely,
and yet we still love them.
We still love them, but
yeah.
we all have that instinct inside of us that wants to respond and wants to do something about that trauma. And this is like rather than in therapy. You know, taking it to...
Which they both probably should be.
They should be in therapy
yeah.
for sure. But instead of being in therapy...
Viciously
it,
texting each
yeah,
other.
To
yeah.
that level.
I like some of that gallows humor, too. You know, I have a dear friend who's... Both of his parents are quite geriatric at this point, and it's been tough on him. And he says, I just don't know what to do with them. And I'm always, like, going to make a joke. I said, take them, just push them in the ocean.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm joking with him, you know. And,
think
of course,
Viking
his first thought was, what? And then he laughed out loud. And I think there is... there's a certain release to that. These kind of stories and laughing at them. Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh, people have to see The Burdens.
I agree.
At Urbanite, running through December 4th. Tickets are at urbanitetheater.com. How can our audiences get to know more about you guys? Do you have anything you want to plug coming up, or your platforms or whatever?
If you just check me out, I have monopolized Jakey, so Jakey, jakey.com, or that is also my Instagram handle, Jakey.
Oh, I love it.
And my Instagram handle is at mlav14, M-L-A-V-1-4.
They have to check you out. I would say check you out on Twitter, but who's on there anymore?
You know, these days?
What's even happening there?
What is that even?
That's a whole other play.
Truly, start writing.
That Urbanite will do.
Yeah, because that's
how it is. I love it. Thank you both for being here and being on our show. What a great treat.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys.
It's great. It's a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see the show.
If you don't like to laugh, just fast forward through this. But for those of us that do, stand-up comedian J.F. Harris, former opener for Whitney Cummings and the Impractical Jokers, is coming to Coastal Creative in St. Pete. J.F. is a staple in the New York City club scene and has taken his hilarious act throughout the country and around the world. Come see his set here in St. Pete on November 20th at 7 p.m. in the Coastal Gallery. Tickets are $10 online at CoastalCreativeTV.com.
We're back with probably my favorite part of the show. I like to call it, oh, and one more thing. And we're still drinking this Liquid Death.
I think we should toast.
We should. Today. Let's make a nice little... The Foley work on this show. Oh, let's show them with this. Liquid Death, available now. We're taking a picture for those listening, which is always fun for people having an auditory, you know, experience with this. I love it. Liquid Death has been pretty good. I think it gets better the more you go along. The warmer it gets.
The warmer
it gets. Like warm tab. Yes. Yeah, I know. Always good. Tab. For those of you out there, younger folks, Google that. So what is our one more thing? Jose, do you want to go first?
Sure. I think my one more thing is I went to go see a show at Studio at 620. Choreographed and or done by a very small dance company called Project Alchemy, and I love their work. Alexander Jones
is
the leader of it.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Everyone should know who they are, so if you could please check them out on their website. They did a really cool sort of event called House Party Remix, you went from space to space to space Studio at 620 and sort of traveled throughout and saw many different dance choreographers.
That's great.
And it was really a lot of fun to watch. But I love their educational work.
Yes.
And I think they deserve a shout out.
Funny story about me and Alex, you know, we both worked at Magic Kingdom at the same time and shared a dressing room. He was in the Castle show and I was doing Royal Majesty Makers in the Giggle Gang. And I just think that's funny because every time we see each other and I'm watching them do all these just amazing things, I will always remember our time together at Magic Kingdom underneath in
together,
the tunnels.
Actually.
I know, it's a lot of fun. My one more thing is I've been so busy this past couple weeks. I've written a show called The Night Before at Freefall Theater. It is a holiday musical about four friends who get together to have a holiday party in Florida, and it just so happens to be snowing at the same time. It's got puppets. It's got a tribute to Stephen Sondheim. I always told everybody, what do Lizzo, Hot Pockets, the movie Die Hard, and cats have to do with one another? Well, you'll find out when you see the show. It's really a joy to do it again, but I have been so busy directing that. So I want everybody to check out The Night Before at Freefall, running Thanksgiving through Christmas Eve. It's just a silly little romp.
I can't wait to see you in it.
Everybody
loves puppets.
They do. People love puppets, and they love Christmas. Or if they may not like Christmas, but that's what's great about The Night Before. We have a great song that basically says, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa time is here. We celebrate everything at The Night Before, so you just definitely want to check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have a lot of fun. Going to take a whole bunch of friends with me.
Oh, good. Great holiday party moment.
Can't wait to see you in it.
It's fun. It's super fun. I'm. What fun we've had today. Great show.
Yeah, I think the guests were amazing.
It's amazing.
Dan and the folks from Urbanite. But it's been great being here with you and sharing the limelight with you.
I love it. I think that's a great way for us to wrap it all up.
Yeah, we should probably go to the wet spot.
We should. I'll be wearing a full bathing suit and a turban. with flowers on it.
Perfect.
Yeah, it'll be my Joan Crawford moment, swimming at the wet spot.
Can't wait for you to just dive on in.
What an exciting visual for everyone out there. Thank you all for listening to In the Limelight. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.